hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and as promised, we're checking in with our buddy John Chatterton, one of the shadow divers and contributors to Titanic's Last Secrets. I've just finished the book. We've talked about it, you know, a few weeks ago on the show with Richie, and we've mentioned it a couple times with John. But now I have actually read the book, and I have John Chatterton to thank for that. He's on the line right now. How you doing, buddy?
I am so proud of you, Greg. I'm starting to tear up here, man. You read a book.
I read a book, and there's actually more words than pictures. It's a first.
Yeah, a book as in, the, you know, it's got like a cover on it. You know, it's like great. Now I'm real proud of the book. I think Brad Mattson did a great job. You know, when you tell me, A, you read a book, and two, you enjoyed it, I'm like, wow, well, you know. I am extremely proud.
Yeah, well, thank you. I definitely deserve a gold star. But it's easy when you're reading stuff like this. I mean, seriously, the book is impressive. I mean, Shadow Divers from a few years ago, phenomenal book, especially for divers that have an interest in that kind of thing already. This kind of picks up where that left off. I mean, you guys are always diving shipwrecks and discovering interesting things about them. And lo and behold, you go for the gold with Titanic, and sure enough, you uncover some stuff that evidently has not been known until this book, which I guess is being released next month, right? Nationwide?
It's coming out next month. The publisher thinks it's going to, you know, get some critical acclaim. Brad Mattson is the author. This really isn't Shadow Divers 2. It is, you know, Rob Kirson wrote Shadow Divers. He had his own writing style. He did a wonderful job. And it was really, you know, real action-adventure was Rob's forte. And I think Brad's writing style is a little bit different. I think it's a great book on its own, but his characterizations, the historical characters, you know, the that really is unbelievably good, and I'm very proud to have worked with Brad. Richie and I are both very proud.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. I mean, it's pretty interesting how he lays it out in the book and goes back in time and kind of paints that picture of what was going on when they were building Titanic, which, you know, without giving the entire story away, I mean, it's kind of a historic review and what you guys discover and how you discovered it. And that's worth reading in its own right. But you basically find out that there were possibly some design flaws in Titanic, and that's what led to it sinking so quickly, as opposed to just the fact that it hit an iceberg. Is that it in a nutshell, you think, or what?
Well, yeah, you know, and I think that also we, you know, I mean, we dove Titanic. We were in the mirror submersibles. We made multiple dives to the wreck itself, and you know, I mean, you know, we're about wreck diving. That's who we are. We're not much else, but we are wreck divers. And so when we looked at taking on Titanic, putting together an expedition at Titanic, we hoped that we would have some small thing to contribute to the cumulative knowledge of Titanic. You know, for 20 years since the wreck was discovered by Bob Ballard and his French partners, for 20 years people have been exploring Titanic. You'd think that, boy, we know everything there is to know. And, you know, Richie and I have the opportunity to go down and find some things that have never been documented. And, you know, I mean, it's really kind of used. I won't say that we weren't lucky, because we were. But at the same time, we get to use our wreck diver instincts and, you know, to a certain extent, we dive the same, you know, the way we are, and, you know, we roll the dice. And this time, I think, almost miraculously, not only did we find something about Titanic, but we found something that was interesting enough for Brad Mattson to put together this great book. It certainly wasn't. It wasn't a plan for us to do a Titanic book. It just kind of turned out that way.
Yeah, I mean, you guys initially were just starting or planning to shoot a video or a TV show or something, or some type of documentary. Is that the plan, really? Or?
Yeah, no. We started out. We funded the expedition ourselves. We put the whole expedition together. We put our team of experts on board, and you know, we were talking to the History Channel, and they said, "Boy, we'd love to do something like this," but. You know, when the day came for us to leave the dock, we didn't have a signed contract with anybody. And
you're gamblers, so, I tell you. I'd go to Vegas.
We're going to Vegas for DEMA.
Well, right, there you go. Okay.
I may put the whole thing on, you know, 11 red.
I'll tell you what. I may give you my money because I think you guys have
you know
done
what?
Pretty well.
If I could take that $5.
Exactly. Yeah, well, you know, it is. It's an adventure that, you know, everybody wishes they could be a part of, and the book really kind of takes you in along for the ride for what you guys found out. Now, let's talk about some of the specifics here, John, because one of the things you guys uncover in the book is, like I said, it was a design flaw, possibly, that led to Titanic sinking so quickly, and because of that, that was why so many people died on that unfortunate incident. And that scene that everybody is, you know, remembers from the movie Titanic, where the boat comes up in the end and all the people are falling from the rail. You guys basically have uncovered information that says that pretty much never happened. Nothing like
well,
that really
you know,
happened.
Jim Cameron is a great filmmaker. He's a guy that studied Titanic. And his film really reflected all of the cumulative knowledge, what we know about the sinking of Titanic when the film was made. So he went into great painstaking detail to make his film as accurate as possible. The wisdom of the day was, you know, Titanic rose up at a 45-degree angle, and everybody knew the end was coming, and this was this long, long, drawn-out, dramatic effect. And quite frankly, it didn't happen that way. You know what? What we determined through our research and our flooding study and working with naval architect Roger Long is that Titanic really never rose more than 10 degrees. And it didn't sink and break up. Titanic broke up, and that's why she sank. And the end for Titanic came very quickly. You know, that makes it a completely different human experience. And certainly, you know, I think all wreck divers like to think about, you know, what was it like? What any of these shipwrecks where you have those who survive and you have those who don't? We like to put ourselves in that situation. You know, how would I have fared? Would I have been one of the survivors?
Right. Would you be a hero? Would you be one of the first people to jump in the boat or whatever? But yeah, I mean, what you guys uncover basically is that most of the people on the boat didn't even know it was sinking, and they were below deck when it actually went below water. Is that right?
Well, and you know what? remember, these people are on the boat, on the ship, on Titanic, and it's like, oh, okay, you know, middle of the Atlantic Ocean, middle of the night, freezing cold, icebergs all around. What do I do, stay on the big metal boat or get in the little tiny wood boat?
Right, exactly.
You have 500 empty seats in the lifeboats. A third of the people that lost their lives could have fit into the lifeboats without putting one extra person. Just the normal accommodation of passengers into the lifeboats, 500 lives could have been saved. So clearly there was a perceptual problem with the people aboard Titanic wondering, assuming that Titanic was going to stay afloat until help arrives. But at the same time, you have Bruce Ismay, the head of White Star, he's in a lifeboat.
Right.
You know, so we early on see this pattern of you know, the shipbuilder, the owners of White Star not and being entirely honest in relating details of the sinking to the public, and that's the thing that really started to become fascinating. Where you're not just, you know, we put together what happened, how the ship broke up, but then we're trying to find out what did Harlan and Wolff, what did White Star know back in 1912, and that is the stuff that I think people are going to be surprised by, and certainly that's one of the interesting elements of Brad's new book.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it definitely looks like there was a pretty big cover-up going on. And I got to ask you, John, what do you think? When this book comes out, could there be relatives of Titanic survivors that come after this company? Or is it just way too far gone and there's no way anybody could do anything about it? And this will just be satisfaction to knowing the truth.
You know, I think it's so far gone. I don't know. Maybe there's some sharp lawyer that, you know, just came out of you know, community college is going to figure this all out in 5 or 10 years. But I don't know. But I think it certainly is going to cause a lot of discussion. You know, we can't help ourselves. The world is absolutely fascinated with Titanic. Titanic is this extraordinarily complex icon. It's like a village. You know, it has an upper class, it has a lower class. There is this event that impacts the entire community, and now there are those who are going to survive and those who aren't going to survive. And you know, you have not everyone making it, but it's a cross class line.
It sounds like a movie. Or maybe it could be Titanic Part 2. I don't know. We got to talk more about this. This is good stuff. Titanic's Last Secrets, John Chatterton and our guests. More coming up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
You came all the way down here for this.
And scuba diving.
Scuba diving? Who's going scuba diving?
We're going scuba diving. We'll be back in time.
What do you have to go scuba diving for?
For fun.
For fun?
And I'm a scuba-holic. I spend all my time beneath the waves. No more gin and tonic. Scuba diving is all that I crave. I don't need a 12-step program. Meetings I never attend. All I need is blue water. I catch a buzz each time I dive in.
John Chatterton is our guest right now, one of the shadow divers and contributors to the book being released next month called Titanic's Last Secrets. I just finished it. I definitely give it 2 fins up, John, just so you know. Feel free to use that endorsement accordingly. I know
I believe that's going to be on the back cover of the book, right?
Surely it is. Of course it is.
By Greg, Dive Master Greg, and The best and only book I ever read, I believe.
Exactly right. There you go. It's the best book I've ever read. Yeah. No, that's not true. I've read your other book, Shadow Divers, and I like that one too. But seriously, the stuff you've uncovered in this book, from the way it sank to the drama between the first class and the second class passengers, the cover up of the shipbuilders and the issues that rises. I mean, what do you think? Could this be turned into a film like Titanic 2? Could James Cameron be so furious that he has to go back and do a director cut of Titanic now, or what?
I don't know. You know, Jim Cameron is a guy who has studied Titanic. He's a brilliant guy. I understand he's commissioned another flooding survey, you know. It'd be certainly interesting to see whatever he comes up with. We commissioned a flooding survey by JMS Engineering. That was one of the things that helped us learn some of the particulars about the low angle breakup and how the chronology of structural events in the sinking. They're a very well respected engineering firm. This wasn't Richie and I sitting around the table with icicle pops trying to glue stuff together. But still, it is any legitimate examination of the evidence is going to come up with a new interesting perspective. It's exciting. Obviously, Richie and I have an interest in Titanic, and if something new were to come up tomorrow or next year or 10 years from now, we would certainly be the guys trying to see how it fits into the big picture.
Well, absolutely, and Titanic is definitely the gold star, the holy grail of wrecks, I would imagine. And part of the book, you talk about diving the sister ship Britannic for information on working through some of the theories that you guys uncovered or stories and issues and that kind of thing. How was that, diving that wreck? You got ran out of the country after it, so I don't know if you've been able to go back.
Britannic is off the island of Chia in Greece. It's in the Chia Channel. It's in 400 feet of water. That's the Aegean Sea. I was first there in 1998. Richie and I went back in 2006. This is the largest ocean liner on the seabed. It's over 1,000 feet long. It is laying on its starboard side. It is an impressive dive. Having studied Titanic and then you're looking at the wreckage of Titanic, then you go to Britannic where the wreck is it's relatively intact. So you're seeing essentially very much, they're sister ships. They're very much alike, but the condition of the wrecks are so different. And of course, what we were looking for was minute changes, very specific engineering changes, differences between the two wrecks. So, Titanic was a lot of fun, but to tell you the truth, we had some issues with the permitting process in Greece. They don't make it an easy wreck to dive. So you're not just dealing with the fact that you got to jump into 400 feet of water and then swim inside a World War One era wreck.
Yeah, it appears you rustled some feathers there in that part of the world. But just send them an autographed book, and maybe they'll let you come back and do some more exploration, you think?
I think they'll let me come back. I'm just not sure they'll let me leave.
Good point. All right. Well, Titanic's Last Secrets, you can pre-order it right now at johnjatterton.com. And, of course, it comes out nationwide next month. Look for it. Titanic's Last Secrets, The Further Adventures of Shadow Divers John Chatterton and Richie Cola.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba. Scuba. Scuba Radio.
Are you ready for liveaboard diving at its best? Well, then you're ready for Explore Ventures. Explore the Bahamas, the Northeast Caribbean, Turks and Caicos, Australia's Great Barrier Reef, even the Galapagos, all while enjoying the comfort, convenience, and effortless diving only an Explore Ventures award-winning liveaboard can provide. Explore Ventures has been making divers' dreams come true for 20 years now, and yours could be next. Call 1-800-322-3577 or go to exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
When you were little, all you needed to have fun was a sunny day, a boat, and some water. For three generations, Boat US has worked to maintain this carefree lifestyle by providing time and money-saving services for millions of boaters, including low-cost boat insurance, towing on and off the water, discounts on fuel and equipment, and so much more. Boat US keeps boating safe, simple, and affordable, so your family can still enjoy a sunny day on the water. Visit BoatUS.com.
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. By the way, we're just getting word in right now to the Scuba Radio studio that it appears our adventure in the Bahamas on the liveaboard trip with Explore Ventures has been canceled.
It isn't so.
Yes, Pete is on the line. He was going to join us on the boat. And, of course, we'll have full details for you next week as we regroup because of Hurricane Ike, Hannah. I don't know. Take your pick. Right, Pete? It's just a mess out there.
I'm waiting for Tina to come along with Ike, you know, the Turners.
Yes. Tina, I'm sure, is following up right behind Ike somewhere.
Well, since they're both Turners, you know, I mean, that sort of fits with the whole cyclone thing.
Exactly. Yeah, she's out there. You know she is.
I'm waiting on her.
But it's a mess, so we have to kind of regroup. It happens at this time of year, and, you know, better be safe than sorry. So they've canceled the trip, and, you know, like I said, we'll get an update for you next week.
That's the great thing about Explore Ventures. They're not going to put you at jeopardy. They're always going to take the safe route. They're always going to make sure you're safe is as fun, that your trip is as safe as the fun as it can possibly be.
Exactly. So, like I said, we'll just pick another week and regroup, I'm sure, and we'll have more details for you next week. But, hey, let's look at the bright side. Hey, I could go do another shark tooth dive off of Venice Beach, let one of these storms or a couple of them blow through. That'll probably stir up all those megalodon teeth off of Venice Beach. What do you think?
Yeah, Greg, I think I'm heading out there right now after the show.
Yeah, it would make sense, probably, wouldn't it? I mean, these storms, that's what happened last time. We'd hit it right after about a week of stormy weather over in the Gulf, and we did quite well. How many teeth did you find, by the way, there at Venice Beach?
This last dive, I came up with 7 megs, and, of course, that one mammoth tooth.
Now, whose was bigger? Mine's bigger than yours, wasn't it?
I don't think so, Greg. No? I think my mastodon tooth outweighs all of your teeth combined.
Oh, no, that's just not true. That can't be. It was underwater. Everything looks larger underwater. But, yeah, who knows? Maybe I'll join you. See, that's the thing. You always look for different alternatives. If the weather isn't going to cooperate, go find shark teeth off of Venice Beach after the storm stirred them up.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
You've been sitting around getting your mouth numb. What did you do? do you like snorkel? Do you windsurf?
No, I went scuba diving.
Oh, man.
Again.
Now, are you licensed to register?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
And saw sharks.
Oh, my God.
I love sharks. One of my obsession.
How close do you get to the...
Seeing sharks. I love to go and see them. Quite close. And as long as you stay calm, they just sort of circle.
Really?
Do you scuba dive?
No, you know, I did it. I tried it. Some people taught me in a pool in New Jersey, honest to God. Honest to God. Years ago at, like, the Hilton in New Jersey. And
didn't like it.
Well, it's very claustrophobic.
Well, in a pool.
Well, I mean, but all of the, you got all that. Yeah, but the sharks.
It is actually claustrophobic, that feeling of.
Yeah, yeah. And if something goes haywire, then all of that stops.
I am a diver, sea, lake, or river. I'm not going to stop. I got to have water. I am a diver. I do not fake it. I feel alive when I'm scuba diving. I am a diver, sea, lake, or river. I'm not going to stop. I got to have water. I am a diver. I do not fake it. I feel alive when I'm scuba diving.
Yes, this is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And we just got some unfortunate news that our liveaboard trip was canceled in the Bahamas, but hey, there's other alternatives. It could be shark, shark teeth diving in Venice Beach off of Florida in between these storms, or you know what? We could take a quick puddle jumper and fly over to Andros. Lucia is on the line from Coral Caverns Resort on that fine island in the Bahamas. How you doing, Lucia?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Well, I could be better. I'd rather be planning a dive trip or going on my dive trip, but hey, the weather does that to us every once in a while. I know you guys are hunkered down right now as well, right?
We are. We're bracing for Ike. We're not too worried about Hannah. We think Hannah's kind of moved on through, but Ike's looking like it has a little bit more teeth to it, so... We're making preparations.
Yeah, so and it'll blow through. You'll take your hit, so to speak, and you'll be ready to go a day or two later, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are used to this in the Bahamas. That's a thing that's kind of, unfortunate. I mean, we were planning a liveaboard trip. You can't do much about, rough seas because that's going to be around for a few days. And that was one of the main reasons why they had to cancel our Explorer Ventures trip. However, on a land-based operation like you guys, I mean, it blows through in a day or two of calmer weather to let the sediment settle down. You got great viz and you're good. You're back in business, ready to rock.
We are. I mean, we're not worried about it. We've got good solid ground and good solid buildings, and everybody seems to have gone through this before, so I think we're on track, and we're just ready for it to happen. You know, we're sick of looking at the Weather Channel every day.
Yeah, well, aren't we all? But unfortunately, that kind of news does keep people away from traveling at this time of year, and really, this is one of the best times of the year to go to the Bahamas, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's been a weird year. Last year we had nothing. This year it's all coming off at the same time. So, if we go on through and we can have the rest of the month for beautiful weather. I mean, it's the best kept secret in the Bahamas for diving except for this couple of weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, you take your punches and in between those storms and stuff, you're going to have some incredible diving there on Andros. What have you seen lately? Any interesting critter sightings or fishing sightings there with any of the, bonefish that you guys offer as a topside activity as well, or what?
No, we haven't done much bonefish, and the water's a little bit too hot for that, but Neil saw the 12-foot sawfish the other day, which is kind of cool, and
wow.
100-pound Jewfish has moved into one of our dive sites, and it's being very protective of his little hole.
Interesting. So a big old Jewfish and a 12-foot sawtooth shark?
A sawfish. Yes.
Interesting.
The long fish with the saw on the end of his nose.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds like a new critter I got to come say hi to. CoralCavernsResort.com. Check them out.
Scuba Radio. Do you want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Does the idea of spending a week on a liveaboard dive boat sound appealing, but also make you queasy? Well, then you need to consider a Necton cruise. Necton's swath-designed liveaboard dive vessels keep the boat rocking to a minimum. That way, you can spend more time enjoying the amenities of these mini cruise ships and the underwater attractions of the Bahamas or Belize, as opposed to feeding the fish. For more information, go to NectonCruise.com on the web or call 1-800-UW-WORLD. That's 1-800-UW-WORLD.
Hey, there are a lot of places you could pick for your next dive.
The Great Barrier Reef.
Cozumel.
The Red Sea.
Indonesia.
Cayman.
My swimming pool.
But now there's a new place you'll want to think about. A beautiful island that's not hard to get to. Unspoiled. Not expensive. Rustic. Real. A full-service resort. Friendly. Really friendly. Great dive masters. Everything you need. And the diving. Whoa. Amazing diving. The third largest barrier reef in the world. Caverns. Blue holes. Walls. Big fish and sharks.
All right already. What is this place?
Thought you'd never ask. I'm talking about the newest dive site in the Bahamas. Coral Caverns Dive Resort on Andros Island. Coral Caverns Dive Resort. Hey, my time's about up, so just go to coralcavernsresort.com. Find out about where you'll be on your next dive trip. Get off the beaten track and get into some real diving. coralcavernsresort.com.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at bahamasdiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Below the waves, our hearts don't know the differences outside.
It's true.
I love all creatures equally wherever they reside.
Lovely.
I get it on with tuna. I've gone down on a shark. I've got films of me with a manatee.
All right, that's enough. Please.
What's wrong?
Well, you have sex with fish?
Fish? Shrimp? Turtles? I'll pretty much bend over for anything with fins.
Okay, I don't think it's going to work out with you.
When you're on.
Bahamas having fun, or you know, it's kind of its own island paradise, and that would be the Florida Keys. That's where Captain Scott is right now. We're going to check in with that part of the world, or the farthest southernmost tip, eastern, southern, I don't know. What is it, Scott? Help me out there.
I can tell you I'm walking through Key West right now, Greg. It is the furthest south point. Yeah, the edge of the earth. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a pretty unique place. Matter of fact, are you walking down Duval Street as we speak? Because I thought I heard a bell. Was that the conch train blowing or something, or what?
Oh, yeah. If you were to listen real good, you can hear the sounds of Key West. I'm at Duval in front right now, and that's a conch tour train going by, as usual.
I thought I heard a drunk guy. That would have been Sloppy Joe's.
Well, that's about every 30, 40 feet, so it could be anywhere.
Exactly.
Yep. Now I'm past Island Dogs Bar, working my way to A and B Marina. So I'm all over the place in Key West.
All right. So a typical Key West style, you know, even though there are storms out there that could or could not be coming their way, they're preparing accordingly at the local watering hole.
Yes, exactly. Ready. We're going to numb it out. And we're also going to bear it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, but you guys are used to this stuff. These storms blow through. Everybody heads north for a day or so, and 24 hours later, you're back in business, ready to rock. So whether or not that happens this week, we'll have to kind of keep an eye on it. But, you know, Scott, my liveaboard Bahamas trip has been postponed because of the weather. I'm wondering, maybe this creates a new opportunity to head down south and maybe catch some lobstering in if the weather cooperates in some of those causeways or something. What do you think?
Well, you know what? We had a little blessing on the weekend here. We got a blessing. It was a nice, calm effect from all those storms out in the great beyond, past the Caribbean and in the Bahamas. That's helped us. And it also kicked up the lobster, Greg. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
The walk. is still going.
All right, so they're walking down there in the Keys, which would be very good news. But I'm wondering, like, let's say we get a little bit of breeze, you know, some of the storm can be felt or, you know, off in the distance, and it churns up things into, let's be moderate and say we're getting like 3 to 4s or something off the coast. The viz is marginal, but still there's some protected waterways down there in the Keys where we could do some, like, you know, lobstering in some of those channels that are protected, couldn't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, another thing, too, Greg, is we found that the last storm that came through, Benegon, Gustav came through, and this, the day after, even the Spiegel Grove, the Duane, the Bibb in Key Largo, the Thunderbolt, all of the wrecks that came in Key West had anywhere from, 30 to 50 foot of viz, and then up to 80 within 3 days. It wasn't bad. So right now, we got a heck of a tide, heck of a current with the new moon. It is not. The visibility is cleaning up pretty quick right now.
All right. Well, that's actually, didn't you guys just go through a coral spawning down there? But wasn't there an event like that last weekend or the weekend before?
That was the moon, yeah, on the full moon, and it was kind of perfectly timed with Faye. Distribution, let's put it that way, heavy distribution with that wave action. We think we're going to have, we might have a coral head sitting right down in the middle of Sloppy Joe's one of these days. You never know.
Well, there you go. Look at the bright side. You know,
that's
you
right.
Well, don't
it's
even have to
bright.
Jump in the water necessarily to get a nice sight of the coral reef. Matter of fact, you know, when I was diving for shark teeth last week, Scott, I could have swore I saw some small little coral heads that were spawning. You know, the visibility was so low anyway because the, like you said, Faye had kind of come through and stir things up. But I saw that little milky cloud above a coral head, and I'm like, hey, I wonder. Because that's kind of like a 2 or 3 day or a week-long event depending on the coral species, isn't it, or do you know?
Well, you know what it is they lie, if you can believe it, in their genetic makeup, coral, the spawn happens all at the same time. And the reason it happens at the same time is to overwhelm the fish, so they can't them all. And it's kind of neat. They kind of time it all at the same time. Nobody really knows how they time it, but when one starts, they all go.
It turns into a big coral orgy.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't do anything for humans when you watch that kind of an orgy, but it is an orgy. It is definitely a coral spawn orgy.
Well, there you go. And I know.
In coral terms, I guess you could call it that.
Okay. Well, we'll go with that. Yeah. You know, I know that's the case with the particular species, but I thought I had heard at one time that some different types of coral trigger at different times. But I don't know. Hey, is that the train behind you, I hear?
Right now, I'm walking through Damn Good Food to Go. Can I say that on the radio? The name of a restaurant.
Yeah, I guess
right.
So. Why not?
Yeah, Damn Good Food to Go. So I'm coming by A&B Marina, and I'm going to see my buddy over here at, good old Mr. Z, Captain Craig Eubank, trying to check on him to see if he's around. So you're here in Nanconquah Public. You've been here. In fact, they threw you out of here last time, and I better not go there. They might recognize me.
Well, the statute of limitations has expired. Isn't there like a 30-day period there? After 30 days, they wipe the slate clean?
Yeah, 30 days. They're trying to change that this year to 24 hours.
Oh, boy.
So I think either way, you're safe.
Yeah. Well, I'm safe at least for another trip. Well, I don't know. Let's keep an eye on the weather there, Scott, and maybe I'll head down that way if you scope out some of the lobster walks for me down there in the Florida Keys.
That's it. We'll be the first to run the parade. Let's put it that way.
Nice. Okay. It's fishmonster.com on the web. You can check out Captain Scott and his crew, and they can take you out diving, they can take you out snorkeling, they can take you out fishing, they can take you out to the dry tortugas too, right?
Oh yeah, the dry tortugas. You say that, it's like music. You even, it sounds good even in your voice pattern. Dry tortugas.
Yes, tortugas.
Tortuga.
There you go. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Are you wishing for a warmer relationship with your wetsuit? Well, then you need to wear Waterproof. Unlike the mass-produced, super-stretch approach to wetsuit design, Waterproof wetsuits are made using multiple pieces of higher-quality neoprene to sculpt a suit that matches the human form. The result is a wetsuit that fits better, lasts longer, and keeps you warmer. Waterproof has been the leader in wetsuit design overseas for years and now are available in the States. Go to waterproof-gear.com to find the dealer near you. That's waterproof-gear.com.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Steve.
I like his flippers. Does he ever take them off?
No.
How about if he goes bowling? They don't make him wear bowling shoes? They let him wear the flippers?
Yes.
Really?
Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. On the line is a guy who was hoping to, he expected me to come back after a week of diving in the Bahamas and rub it in once again, but that just isn't going to be the case, at least for this week. Bill, the producer, is on the line. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing better than I thought I'd be doing, Greg.
Yeah, you are, I hear that tone in your voice that you're actually happy that I don't get to experience the Bahamas this week on a liveaboard with Explore Ventures.
It would be wrong to say, Greg, that I'm happy that you don't get to go, but I'm less upset than I would be had you gone.
Okay, well, look at it this way. It's not necessarily that you are happy because I can't go, but you see an opportunity that when it gets rescheduled, that maybe this time you'll be able to accompany us on the liveaboard. Is that what you're thinking?
Darn tootin'.
Darn tootin', exactly. All right. Well, you just got to roll with the punches. You know what I think we might do, though, is head over to Venice Beach and go look for some shark teeth instead.
Well, now, that sounds like a cool alternative.
Or we could go down to the Keys and go hunt for some lobster. You know, do little day trips, little mini trips in between these storms that we might be able to fit in from our home base of operations in Orlando, Florida. What do you think about that, Bill?
Can lobsters, mermaids actually catch lobster?
Well, there's only one way to find out. Now, or do you mean mermaids using them as bait or mermaids as hunters?
I wonder if they work as a hunter-gatherer, if they are good at finding seafood on the sea bottom.
I would say they probably could, but they would probably need some tips from the lobster slayer, and I'd be willing to share those with our mermaids.
Well, then, I think this sounds like a great opportunity for the mermaids and for you to not go and swim with wild dolphins.
But instead find out if the mermaids can catch lobster or maybe find shark teeth.
I think that is just the sort of upgrade that you were hoping for, Greg.
Exactly. And I know you're thinking you're going to come too, aren't you?
That's my hope.
Well, Bill, just remember, I'm easily bribed.
Oh, I had not forgotten about that. I've been saving up Subway tokens.
Okay. Well, whatever works. I take all denominations. I don't feel it's necessary to discriminate in that regard. Anyway, until next week, we'll just leave it with this. Remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Bill?
Good diving, everybody.
Each little snail, you know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we in love here, down in the muck here, under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard,
blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.